All right, well, I see all the commissioners. So I'm going to call this meeting to order on November 4th. And the first item is approving the minutes from our meeting on October 21st. I move to approve the minutes.
I'll second.
Thank you, John. Any friendly amendments, questions, or comments? All right, see none. All those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Hi, Josh.
Hi, John.
The minutes are approved. And then the next item is we have 9 loans at a little over $4.6 million. I move to approve the loan portfolio. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Great. We'll turn it over to Rich, who will walk us through the 9 loans that we are reviewing today.
Thanks, Sarah. You're right. We have 9 loans today, which is a pretty good number for us. Loans number 1 and 7 for the town of Mishicot and the town of Conover are for road work. We have 3 building projects that we're helping to finance. The city of New Richmond is asking for interim financing for their community library. Then the town of Gordon is doing some improvements for their town hall, and the town of Washington, which I believe is out on Washington Island, needs a new roof for the rec center. Then we have 3 truck loans, loans number 5, 6, and 9. The town of Conover, the town of Salem, and the town of Superior are looking to buy some new trucks. And then loan number 3 is an operating loan for the school district of Hustisford. And as I think I've mentioned in the past, you know, this type of loan is becoming more common as school districts are feeling some financial pressure. So that's all I have for today. Are there any questions?
No, there's no questions for me besides the third one that you talked about, Rich, was just about the cash flow shortages and operating deficit. But, yeah, I think this is, what, the 5th one like this we've seen this year?
I think that's about right, Sarah.
Yeah. At $1 million, too, which is also, I think, noteworthy. But I don't have any other questions if any of the other commissioners do.
None here.
All right. Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the loan portfolio, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Hi, Josh.
Hi, John.
The loans are approved. And we're, as you can see, the agenda's a little moved around, so we can go into old business last and then end with a kind of our closed session item. So then moving on to routine business. Rich, I'm going to pass the mic back over to you for the quarterly investment report.
Thanks, Sarah. You know, I reported on the second quarter results just a few weeks ago, so I plan on keeping this third quarter report short and sweet. One of the exercises I like to do in preparing these quarterly results is to look at where we've been and where we're going. This involves a review of changes in our asset values and projected income. If we turn to page 12 in the packet, you know, there are a few significant changes since the end of Q2 on June 30th. You know, first, the value of total assets at the bottom of the first column is now over $1.6 billion. That number increased over $100 million in the last quarter. This increase was due both to constitutional additions and market conditions. The largest increase came from unclaimed property. In September, the Department of Revenue deposited about $55 million from unclaimed property into the Common School Fund. I believe this was a record, and Tom can correct me if it's not, but in dollar terms, and increased the fund balance by about 3.5%. When looking at our goal of growing the Common School Fund relative to inflation, these deposits are absolutely critical. On the market side, our preferred stock portfolio performed well, increasing $2.8 million, which can primarily be attributed to the overall decline in market interest rates. Our common stock portfolio increased over $15 million, or 7% during the quarter. Stocks remain near all-time highs, mostly driven by big tech and huge investments being made in AI. Following a 20% drop in market valuations a few years ago, real estate valuations appear to have stabilized now. Some of them are even going up a little bit. Infrastructure has been steady as it goes, which is the role of infrastructure within our portfolio. The biggest changes within the Common School Fund investment portfolio values came from our venture capital portfolio, which I discussed a month ago. During Q3, realized gains added about $8 million to principal, while unrealized gains increased a little over $18 million. Then, as you know, one of the numbers on this page I like to focus on is in the bottom right-hand corner. Total projected annual income tends to be quite volatile because these projections are based on an annualization or quadrupling of income received from each source during the prior 3 months. Our portfolio management software does not provide other methods of projecting income that might prove more stable. This quarter, total projected annual income is down about $2 million because income distributed from both public equities and private debt came in lower this quarter. We believe these are anomalies that will self-correct over time. Some funds just do not receive and distribute a stable amount of income each quarter. However, you know, I fully expect our total distributable income will be sufficient to cover reasonable increases in Common School Fund distributions, both in 2026 and well beyond. Are there any questions before we move on to the next page?
So I have to tell everyone now it's $1.6 billion total?
Yes.
Okay. I got to remember that.
It's getting to be a pretty big number, isn't it?
I mean, it was 1.1 when I started. So that's great.
I started saying 1.4, and now it's 1.5.
Wait, now you got to say 1.6.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it was like $800 million when I started, Sarah. So, and it probably was quite a bit lower when Tom did too, right? So.
I was gonna say Tom was in its fixed income days.
Mm-hmm. Right. But moving on now to the allocation report, the investment committee has added significant investments, about $20 million, in Treasury inflation protected securities or TIPS. Other sectors currently underallocated include private debt and infrastructure. The investment committee approved new commitments of $25 million each to both of these asset classes during the third quarter, and we anticipate additional commitments over the next 6 months. Other commitments expected include private equity and venture capital and adding to our real estate portfolio. You know, one thing that keep in mind is that common stocks right now appear ripe for a market correction, so I believe it makes sense to be patient before we add funds to that portfolio. In summary, and from a 20,000-foot view, the investment committee continues to make progress to implement the strategic asset allocation as approved by the board. As mentioned, I was trying to keep this short, and that is all I have prepared for today, and I appreciate your time. I know it's a busy meeting. Are there any questions?
None from, I think, the commissioners in the room, Rich. Josh, any questions from your end?
None for me either.
Thank you, Rich. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Moving on to the executive secretary's report.
Since we have so many other things going on today, I'm gonna defer my report to a later meeting.
So. Okay.
You mean like January?
That's an excellent suggestion.
After January 2nd, is this what you're trying to say, John?
That's beautiful.
Love it. Thank you, Tom. And then very similarly, my updates are all around the executive secretary recruitment. And so I will save my update to walk everybody through where we are with that. So any future agenda items?
I think we have enough.
I was going to say. Just wanted to make sure. So now we're moving into old business. And if there are no objections from the commissioners, I'd like to suspend the rules to discuss number 9 and number 10. So are there any objection? All right.
Objection.
Seeing none. Tom, can you talk us through where when we left off about the normal school fund, and we were talking about the $1.8 million versus the $691,000 being spent, and kind of where that is with transparency and accountability?
With respect to the normal school fund in the UW, we have received nothing, no additional information from them. And so I'm trying to schedule a meeting to go up there and sit down because of the fact that it's easy not to respond to an email. It's harder to not respond to a body that's sitting in front of you. So
I guess we will wait for an update at a future meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions from the commissioners on that agenda item? Then the next one is our submerged logging, one of our historical responsibilities. And Tom, I think where we left it off is we really haven't used this authority that the legislature granted us a while ago, and now we have a request. And so as things have evolved, it's knowing this is kind of an unfunded mandate from the BCPL, and so how can we make sure we're best meeting this requirement and the request? So I know you're working with the team up in Tomahawk to kind of think through how to best do this today.
Thank you, Sarah. Ultimately, after sorting through all the disparate pieces, the only way to make this work in the present situation is to develop procedures that rely heavily upon the honor system. The fact is, we can't have someone stationed at the docks or a diver out there checking to see which logs they're pulling up. Financially, we don't have the resources, we don't have the people. And so the technology has changed quite a bit in the last 15 years. And so requiring the licensee to send us videos of all the logs that are pulled up and reserving the right to have inspections whenever we see fit, along with the DNR and the Historical Society, that's the best we can come up with under these circumstances. And so that's what I put together today, was a resolution that in essence sets forth in the recitals, how did we get to this point, and why are we even considering doing this? And so the recitals pretty much tell the story of how we got here and explain why we're talking about going the route we're going. I did have a chance to talk to an assistant AG about this matter, because I was concerned that are we getting into rulemaking or regulation drafting by doing this? And after talking it through with him, he was like, no, you're just complying with the statute. So this was my best effort to come up with something that meets the statute, keeps it as simple as possible, and lives within the budgetary constraints of BCPL.
Tom, the first question I have is why we need a recital. It seems like this is just agency operations, and I don't know why we would have a separate recital from what would the normal operations of the agency would be.
Because in this particular situation, I guess I want it on the record as to why we're doing this differently. The idea that this whole thing started when we had significant resources given to us by the state. If the state treasurer is successful in convincing members of the legislature to move forward on this, on that legislation to repeal the statute, I think having this resolution helps explain the course of action that we're taking prior to that rescission. So it's up to the board. I mean, if you feel that it's not necessary, you're free to strike it. I just thought it's important to set the tone for why we're doing what we're doing.
Josh, were there any concerns you had about the recital?
Well, the only thought I have is that to the extent that we are, that this is changing what would be sort of the default authority that the BCPL staff has, I guess I'd want to think through how we're changing that and what that means. And to the extent that it's not, then it doesn't seem helpful to me to have a recital. Because we can explain this background to legislators separately. I certainly think following up with legislators and taking steps on this is important. The other thing I just want to give a little bit more thought, and I'd be happy to at our next meeting take this up or something like that. But I'm just looking through the. I mean, there's just some very technical stuff in here. So, for instance, one of the resolutions is that any permit issued by BCPL is also subject to any conditions required by the DNR, Historical Society, and U.S. Army Corps of Engineers if such submerged logging activities impact navigation. And I assume, Tom, that that's just consistent with the general legal structure, but it doesn't seem very... I'm not sure why we need to go into that in a resolution, I guess is my point.
Part of what I was trying to do was also make it clear that if we're going to grant this permit to this individual, you also want to let the permittee know what the rules of the road are, you know, at the time that they're granted the permit. Or in this case, it's in essence starting the process that, okay, this is such an awkward statutory amalgam. Where you have one agency like ours who has to, in essence, be the gatekeeper, but then immediately other agencies get involved in making determinations. And I want it clear to the permittee that what you're getting from us is not the right to go and pull logs now. What you're getting from us is the right to move forward and find out what restrictions are going to be coming from those other agencies. So, again, it was more managing the expectations of the permittee at this point as well.
Just a question, I guess, about this. I thought that there was a timeline that we had to reach back. Like, there's a timeline associated with responding.
Yep.
And so as part of, I guess what I'm trying to gauge, Tom, is there urgency around passing a resolution in order to meet our timeline to get back to the individual?
So the statutory timeline is 60 days. And from the time that he's been asking for us, more than 60 days has already elapsed. At the time that he started, you know, requesting this, we had nothing prepared for this. And so it's taken a fair amount of time to put the pieces together to figure out what we were even going to be asking our board to do. But yes, I would say at this point, there's a sense of urgency that this person's been waiting for a response. It's up to us now to actually say, this is the path we're gonna follow here.
Well, first I'll say if we're beyond the statutory timeline, we should get back to this person promptly, because I think we should do everything we can to follow those. I guess my question, Tom, is having not looked at all the relevant statutes closely, you know, obviously we need to make sure that we're doing this in a way that's consistent with what the statutory scheme is, so it's hard to sign off on, you know, the sort of specifics in here about video documentation and that sort of thing without knowing what that structure looks like. So I'd be more comfortable you know, deferring to the staff's, you know, ability to implement the rules and regulations and to do so consistently with the statutes. But, you know, I'm happy to go over that if that's helpful.
If you would prefer that the board just give directions to the staff to implement this statute in the way that they believe is consistent with the intention of the legislature, so be it. Like I said, what I was trying to do was explain why we were doing this, and also in a way that was also going to manage the expectations of the permittee. So,
well, I guess my question for you then is, these are obviously very technical statutes. You know, is this? I don't know how this comports with the statutes and if it's consistent with it or where we are on that. But you know,
I would never knowingly put something before the board that I didn't think was consistent with the statutes. That is not my way of operating. Like I said, what I was trying to do is figure out how do we do this in this new era? How do we stay true to the statutes when we don't have the resources? The statute as it exists doesn't say we had to have a diver there. It doesn't say we had to have someone at the dock. But that was the most logical way of doing it 30 years ago.
So, well, I think that gets at, I guess, the question I have, Tom. To the extent that what we're talking about is a different procedure than we used to have,
yep.
But it's one that is likewise consistent with the statute, then, you know, that to me seems simple. My understanding from our earlier discussion was that you had concerns about compliance with the statute at all, given the changes in circumstances. And so I don't know, you know, where we're at on that. I mean, if we're confident that this approach is consistent with what's required in the statute, then that's good to know. But I just, based on our earlier conversation, I'd want to know that before we move forward.
The biggest issue that we're facing here is this concept of doing this essentially on the honor system. When we sell timber, sometimes there's scaled sales where we have someone that actually goes to the harvest site and checks to see how many logs, what type of are they poles, are they logs. Sometimes they're scaled at the mill, and sometimes it's a lump sum where it's a small enough sale that our foresters go out there and say, yeah, in our estimation, this is worth 9,000. And so, but in our logging operations of our trust lands, we've never gone to the honor system completely where it's like, tell us what you cut or what you brought up. And so this is a departure for us.
But what I'm trying to sort out, Tom, is that a policy point or is it a legal point? I mean, is there a requirement that we have something beyond the honor system in statute or is this just a, okay.
This is strictly in essence a policy decision on how are we going to make this work? So.
But Tom, what I'm hearing from the conversation is that this is in line with the kind of high-level direction in the statute provided to us by the legislature. What we are doing is just further in this new era, because we haven't gotten a request for over, 20, 30 years, and how to best meet that as kind of an executive entity to execute that, which is the procedure that you have outlined to best meet that, knowing the context which is provided prior that we don't have any funding for this, and we want to make sure that we can meet these kind of requests moving forward.
Yes.
Hey, Tom, can I ask, how did this, so did the guy send in an application, or is he just asking questions on how to do it at this point?
No, So he sent in a letter requesting. We don't have an application form right now, and so that's what I was trying to do, is actually develop the new pathway for doing this. And
did he send in the fees, though? Like, it says you have to send in a $500 fee and a $200 or $10,000 bond.
He had sent in a check, but he didn't have a bond. And so, in essence...
So the 60 days didn't technically start yet, so...
No, but I always try to make sure that we're doing right by the people that we serve. And in this particular situation, we've been in regular communication with him, and he's continuing to ask, when are you going to have your new procedures in place? I want to get going. So
that all makes sense to me, and I think it's good practice to be mindful of those things. It is helpful for me, at least, though, to know when we're talking about sort of obligations we have pursuant to statute versus where we're sort of making the policy judgment calls. To the extent that we're entirely in the policy realm here and none of this implicates statutory requirements, then, I think it's like I said, it's pretty simple for us to weigh in on that. That's why I just want to make sure we're understanding clearly.
Yeah. And I apologize if I created some confusion by creating an overly complicated document, but I thought, how would I want to react to this if I was a board member? And I thought, if my staff was coming up with something that was like, yeah, we're going to operate this on the honor system, I'd want to know, really? Well, tell me more. And that's what I was trying to do here.
Yeah, to the extent that that's purely a policy question, given the resource constraints you raised, that makes sense to me to move forward with. So if the staff feels strongly that it's helpful to have a recital, I'm happy to take that up today. I'm also happy to sort of say that we view that as part of your discretion. You've informed us. Unless anybody objects, you've sort of made a record with the board. So I don't have a strong view as to which way to proceed. I don't know, Sarah or John, if you do, but.
Well, I assume we're going to be handing this to the applicant as well, right?
Yes, I'd assume.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's also kind of setting his expectations. So, everyone's on the same page.
Yeah, and I guess I'm fine with it as is, knowing that, unless there's, I think it all makes sense as written and is very clear to follow, so I don't have any heartburn with it. And John, I don't know if you do.
No, I was just looking through the statute.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, it just tells them what we're at and kind of explains why things are the way they are.
Right. So I guess, Josh, are you, John and I seem comfortable as written, knowing that this is a procedural resolution, are there any changes or updates that you'd like to see?
Based on Tom's point that this is a policy question for us, and that I'm comfortable moving forward.
Okay. Great. So is there a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, John. John moves to approve the resolution as is. I will second that. Any additional questions, comments, or debate? See none. All those in favor of approving the resolution, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, John.
The resolution is approved. The next item on the agenda is an update on the executive secretary recruitment. Because we are going into resumes and personal information, I move that we go into closed session pursuant to Wisconsin statute section 1985-1C.
I will second that.
Any objection? All right. Seeing none, we will.
I think we need to vote, Sarah. Sorry.
Okay. All those in favor of going into closed session, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, John.
All right. We will move into closed session. So I believe we sign into the closed session link that has been sent to the commissioners.
Okay. Sarah, I didn't know if you wanted me to join you in the closed session or not.
Or yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thanks, Tom.
Take care.
Sweet, can you help us move?
Whoops.
Tom, do you have to close this session and go to a different one?
Trying to figure this out here.
We send a link to you with that.
Oh, that's the old one.
Yeah.
All right, bye again.
Am I using your laptop or tablet for this meeting?
I'm using my iPad because my laptop is dead again because of the fact that the internet in the hotel is down.
I won't be able to get on TeamViewer and peek your tablet to see if I can help guide you through that. Sorry.
So, Tui, I need the link. I didn't get that.
Send her a chat as well.
everybody there?
Yep, still
I'm here. Tweet.
Okay. Oh, Chuck, just so did Tom ask you to for the link, or was he? I'm just confused. Was he not finding it or something?
He was looking around on his tablet. I couldn't remote into his tablet, and he couldn't find any way to get in. And I mentioned.
Oh, it should have been in his calendar.
Yeah, I mentioned he should look for the email or an invitation, but I think he was already on his way to calling you. So thanks for joining me.
I'm running around trying to look print stuff. And,
yeah.
Okay, so it's all fine, but yeah, it should have been on his calendar because he accepted it and he was on the original invitation. So looks like he's fine now, yeah. So it's all good. All right, thanks.
Awesome. Thanks, Twee.
Hi, Chuck.
I found your back.
Yeah. My iPad is dying.
Is it the charge, you mean?
I think what was happening is that the video was taking a toll, and the fact that it kept trying to connect to the Wi-Fi, so it was draining at a much faster rate.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
So by the time I shut off Wi-Fi, I'm down to 6%. So,
do you have the charge cable nearby, or
it's charging right now? But it's like I said, it's.
If you want to shut off your video until they come out of the other closed session, maybe that would help a little bit. But yeah, I understand it is going to drain.
Yeah.
Incidentally, Tom, if you continue having issues with the Wi-Fi at the hotel, if it's not the hotel's, just let me know. I can try to help.
Okay. All right. We are in open session, but we're going back into closed. So I move to go into closed session.
And I will second.
Sorry. Is this a topic that I've been recusing myself from?
Yes.
All right. I will abstain then, and I will not participate in the closed session.
Great. All those in favor of going to closed session, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
I abstain.
Aye, John.
All right. Great. We're going back into closed session.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. I don't have the...
Okay. Bye. Are you guys still there?
You're still here.
Okay. Josh, are you there?
Yep, me too.
Josh is still here. So Sarah and John in the closed session decided to adjourn the meeting. So the meeting. Oh, so you. Okay. Okay. Josh, would you like to join the vote to adjourn? They made a motion to adjourn. John seconded.
Oh, if that's procedurally proper, yes. I don't know. Are they there?
Procedurally proper, yes. Okay. Okay. So everybody said aye. Everybody's good.
Yes, I am adjourned too.
Okay. The meeting was long, so yes, I guess they went back into open session, but they didn't go back into this open session. But yes, the meeting is adjourned, so you guys can all leave the meeting now.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Dan. All right, bye.